Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, today I want to talk on the subject joy in belonging. When you go into Philippians chapter 3, it is so rich. Every single verse is inspiring, encouraging, gives us instruction. And I want to actually go to the end of the chapter right now, because when you go to the end of the chapter, it actually helps you understand why the Apostle Paul is saying some of the things at the beginning of the chapter. Being adopted, I fully understand when the Bible refers to the fact that we've been adopted into the family of God. I remember when I was young, I used to say to my friends, hey, I'm blessed, I was adopted twice. So I actually get that whole thing when we are able to call it, Abba, Father. I remember when I was traveling in America just as a young boy, someone came up to me and said, how does it feel to be traveling with the Camerons? I remember looking up to their face, and as quick as anything, I said to them, I'm not traveling with the Camerons. I am a Cameron. You see, I understood what it meant to belong. And here at the end of chapter 3, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3, verse 17, we read, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Every 4 years we have the Olympic Games. It's at the Olympic Games where you have the elite athletes from all over the world come to compete and represent their country. What joy it must be to win a gold medal. What must that feel like? But I've never seen anyone, as they step up to the podium, be tapped on the shoulder and be asked the question, do you have a favorite song? Is there something you would like played? Is there any particular color of flag that you want right now? You see, yes, they've trained. It's their skills, it's their talents, it's their efforts, but they're representing something bigger. You see, the flag that is raised is the kingdom they represent. Citizenship was a big deal in Philippi. There were a lot of retired military soldiers there, and they would have had Roman citizenship. So in Philippi, you would have been very familiar with seeing those that spoke the language of Rome, that looked like Rome. It was a big deal, and Roman citizenship carried with it certain privileges. Now here Paul is really helping us, because he wants us to understand that being in Christ is far superior than being in Rome. Being a citizen of heaven is not something we're working for, it's actually something we're working towards. I remember when, as a young man, I traveled in the States with my brother Philip. I had a green card. When we would arrive off the airplane, there was always the sign, isn't there American citizens and green card holders and others? I would wave goodbye to the rest of the party as I would go through the line for the green card holders. And I would look at my brother, and I remember this so well. I looked at him and I went, it's good to belong. It wasn't long after that that I was informed that I had to register with the Select Service. What that meant was, if there was a national emergency, I would be required to go and help the armed forces. I was petrified. All of a sudden, I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. We had to go down to the post office to register. And I'll never forget, as I got out of the car, my brother looked at me and went, it's good to belong. You see, the Apostle Paul, as he is talking here to the church at Philippi, he's helping them understand that being part of the kingdom has certain responsibilities. And I love where he goes with this whole thing, because chapter 3 is just full of priorities upon priorities upon priorities that you and I, as citizens of heaven, should be making sure that we're doing. Let me share some with you. You see, the Apostle Paul tells us that we need to be an example. Verse 17, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. The Apostle Paul is saying here, we need to be model citizens of heaven. What is a model citizen? A model citizen is someone who obeys the law, is good to their community, and sets a good example for other citizens. In other words, because we are citizens of heaven, it affects how we conduct ourselves here on earth. You see, when you became a Christian, you were redeemed and you were recruited. We belong to Jesus. We are ambassadors of his kingdom. We are representatives of the kingdom of God. Therefore, the way we walk, our attitudes, our behaviors should all represent the kingdom that we belong to. When I was a teenage boy and would be heading out in the car, I remember my dad or my mom would turn to me and say, Neil Cameron, remember who you are. They were reminding me that in a small town, if I was to get up to any mischief, then it would come very quickly back to them. They would be informed what I was doing. In other words, belonging had responsibilities. What we're talking about here is gold standard living. Vance Hefner put it this way. If you're a Christian, you're not a citizen of this world trying to get to heaven. You're a citizen of heaven making your way through this world. Billy Graham said it this way. My home is in heaven. I'm just passing through this world. Heaven doesn't make this life less important. It makes it more important. Now listen, that doesn't mean that we're perfect. In fact, I'm sure that you can look around the room right now, perhaps your husband, your wife, maybe look in the mirror. We're not perfect. And although the Apostle Paul is instructing us that we should become model citizens of heaven, he says in verse 12, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eyes on the goal where God is, beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. You see, the Apostle Paul, he was not on a pedestal above them. He was on a platform beside them, and he could truly say, this is the Apostle Paul, remember. My goodness, I wish that I could be as spiritual as he was. But he was quite clear, I haven't arrived, but I'm reaching forward because I want to be a model citizen that others can look at and see what it means to represent the kingdom of heaven. Folks, we are on a long journey. Can I encourage you? Get around people, partners, friends that will lift you up, not push you down. Get around good coaches. People that when you have a bad attitude, no, you never do. I know, you never have a bad attitude. Perhaps when you're feeling negative, perhaps when you're feeling down, get around good Christian people and friends that are going to lift you up and remind you that we're in this earth, but we're not of this earth. We have a home who has a builder and maker. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are just passing through. We're just simple pilgrims. You need good people in your world. Every single one of us needs someone that is going to put a hand on our shoulder and remind us that this is not the end. We have so much more ahead of us. Come on, that's a great place for you to say amen right there. I remember my dear friend telling me the story of his young son who came home from school. He'd been bullied. This had gone on for quite a while. When he came into the home that day, his face was bloodied, he was bruised, and my friend was furious. So he turns to his son and he actually gave him a stick and he says, I want you to get back up there to that school and you catch those bullies and I want you to hit them until they're black and blue. I know, great parenting, right? I'll never forget what my friend said. His little son turned to him, looked him in the eyes and says, Daddy, if it's okay with you, I think I'd rather pray for them. Yeah, I think I'd rather pray for them. You see, in this little heart, in this young boy, was the understanding of what it meant to be a Christian. He understood that to respond with violence as he had received was not the godly way. It's not what a citizen of heaven did. It helps us understand then, if we're citizens of heaven, when the Bible talks about forgiveness. Peter says, how often should I forgive my brother? Up to 7 times? He must have thought that Jesus was going to applaud the largeness of his heart. Jesus turned to him and says, no, Peter, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Was Jesus saying that it was a number? No, what Jesus was saying is when it comes to areas of forgiveness, he's saying it's unlimited how often we forgive one another. The Bible tells us that we should turn the other cheek, that we should go the second mile. Let me help you understand that. You see, what does going the second mile mean? It was allowed by Roman law that a soldier could stop someone that was a non-Roman citizen and could compel them to carry their backpack for a mile. The first mile was by law. They had no choice. And often you were perhaps going about your day's work and a Roman soldier could say to you, you, I want you to carry this for me. But what happens if you were going that way and he wanted you to go that way? Well, it would mean you were a mile out there and a mile back. So actually it was more than 1 mile, it was 2 miles. And then Jesus said, this is what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. If you are compelled to go 1 mile, I want you to go the second. Well, wait a minute. If you were already 1 mile out, which meant another mile back, which was 2, that means if you were 2 miles out, that was 4 miles back. What Jesus was saying is, this is the gold standard of Christian living. You go beyond the expectation. I don't know about you folks, but that's not easy in the flesh. But it helps me to know that if I'm a citizen of heaven, that God actually demands and requires more of me in the way I respond to others. The Bible says, love your enemies. Do you find that easy? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. What a challenge that is to our heart. That is second mile living. That's what it means to be a citizen of heaven. Let me ask you the question, can we allow the blessings of God to overtake our heart, our opinions, our unforgivenesses, our prejudice, our disappointments, our challenges? Because Paul is saying to us right now in this book of Philippians, which is the book of joy, and the joy of belonging is this, when you're a citizen of heaven, you don't respond in the flesh. That's why we need the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, to be evident in our life. You can't walk the second mile alone. We need help. And then the Apostle Paul says, don't focus on earthly things. Where does he say this? Verse 19. He refers to those that their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Paul is saying, because you're a citizen of heaven, don't get caught up on things that are temporal. You live for the things that are eternal. That's why our focus and our priorities, is it heaven or is it earth? Colossians 3, we read this, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That Greek word used for set means to seek after, strive, be intent about it. In other words, it's a passage or a rite of living that is intentional, that wait a minute, I am going to always remember that this is temporal. I'm part of something that is eternal. That's why Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Listen to this. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What a great question this morning. Where is your treasure? Where is your focus? Listen, there's no problem having nice stuff. I love nice stuff. I think the challenge is not you having the stuff. I think it's when actually the stuff has you, the things have you, that you're focusing on the things that are temporal here on earth. We've got to remember that we're passing through, folks. I can't say that enough. We've got to go to God's Word and get instruction and understanding. What does God's Word say? How do we live, about how we live in this Christian walk, on this journey, how I should respond, how I should react? What does God's Word say to me? We can discover through prayer and through His Word so much. We're told, don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's so much in here to help you on this journey. I was looking at my passport the other day. It's one of those things that just checking that it was in date, not planning to go anywhere, but just thought I'd check. And I don't know how often you've looked at your passport, but listen to what it says on the very front of your passport. Her Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requests and requires in the name of Her Majesty all those whom it may concern to allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance and to afford the bearer such assistance and protection as may be necessary. Don't know about you, but I've never seen that. I wonder how much is in here that we just haven't seen. We're so used to going to the familiar passages or checking the photograph and looking at the date to make sure that it's still, you know, usable. Maybe God wants us to begin to re-examine His Word and help us as citizens of heaven to walk this journey. You know, I find it so interesting because so many countries right now, they're trying to keep non-citizens out. Here's the great thing about heaven. Here's the great thing about the kingdom of God. We're not trying to keep non-citizens out. We're trying to encourage people to come in and belong. And maybe you're listening to my voice and you're not a citizen of heaven. Yes, you've enjoyed tuning in. You love the singing. You're maybe encouraged by the talk, but you've never made a decision to become a citizen of heaven. Maybe your focus is on earthly things. And I'm here to encourage you today that you can have a relationship with God that will change your world forever. The Bible says that we'll have abundant life here on earth and then eternal life when we go to be with Him. What's your perspective? What's your priority? Would you today say, Neil, I want Christ to come into my heart so that I know that when that trumpet sounds, as the Bible says, and we meet with God, that I am part of the family that I belong. Hey, if that's you, pray with me right now. Ask Christ to come into your heart. It's as simple as a prayer of asking forgiveness for our sins and asking Him to become Lord of our life. Would you ask Christ to come into your heart? If that's you, pray with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I'm thankful that You are my Savior. I ask You right now to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart, to bring me peace that only You can bring, that I too will realize that as I'm passing through this earth, that I have a blessed future and hope with you as a citizen of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.